Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen. On today's episode, we roll out the red carpet for a local movie star. Embry Johnson joins us at the CTV studio to chat about his experience of being a teen on a movie set, filmed right here in Oregon.
And hey, did you see that weird sign we posted on Facebook? It was supposed to advertise a Christmas tree farm, but the picture was of a pine cone? A light bulb? A human heart? A lot of people were confused. We went to the farm and asked the owner what the heck it was supposed to be. You'll hear him explain it. But first, the news.
It's not exactly surprising that a new development the size of the proposed Project Shakespeare would make such a huge impact on Canby. It's a warehouse and distribution facility about 2.5 times the size of Canby Fred Meyer, and that's before the 2 expansions that are planned for some time in the future. Exactly how big the impact will be remains to be seen. One thing we do know is that the proposed beverage distribution facility will come as the city of Canby's second largest employer if it meets its planned staffing level of 242 full-time employees. That would put it second only to Fred Meyer. Yes, the same Fred Meyer that could fit inside of Project Shakespeare twice, with room to spare. Freddie's employs about 280 people in Canby. Rounding out the current top five are Johnson Controls at 238, Kendall Floral at 220, Milwaukee Electronics Northwest at 195, and Shimadzu USA at 180. Of course, we don't yet know the project involves 240 actual job openings or just the shifting of already filled positions from other facilities, since the identity of the tenant and their exact plans regarding employment have not been confirmed. Whatever the case may be, it seems clear that injecting that many new working employees in Canby will obviously be seen and felt in many ways. That's more cars on the road and more potential customers for local goods, services, and housing. One person was killed and 4 were injured in a 4-vehicle crash that occurred on McKay Road near the intersection with French Prairie Tuesday west of Aurora. Investigators believe a small SUV was traveling east on McKay Road when the driver, Mildred Schauber, 81 of Newburgh, swerved into the oncoming westbound lane for unknown reasons. Schauber sideswiped a large work truck that was westbound on McKay. The truck driver, Clifford Erickson, 39, avoided the head-on collision by steering onto the eastbound lane. Schauber continued westbound and struck an oncoming passenger car head-on. The driver, Catherine Ashley, 51, and her passenger, Casey McCauley, 29, both Aurora residents, were transported to the Salem Hospital for treatment. A 4th vehicle, a pickup truck being driven by 84-year-old Keith Wright, also from Aurora, rear-ended Schauber's vehicle. Investigators believe the glare from the sun was a contributing factor to the crash. Erickson and Wright were treated on the scene for minor injuries. Sadly, Ms. Schauber was killed in the collision. She was not wearing her seatbelt. Marion County Sheriff's Office says seatbelts saved an estimated 14,668 lives last year. They urge residents to buckle up and drive safely. There's still time to be a part of this year's Canby Kiwanis Community Food and Toy Drive. The annual drive serves hundreds of families and thousands of children in Canby each year, providing food and toys, basically a Christmas that they might not have otherwise. Tony Crawford, president of Kiwanis, told the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce last week that the drive is one of the things that makes Canby special.
Food and Toy Drive is one of those events that just simply brings our community together. And it's one of those things that, as I spoke at City Council last night, I said, you know, Canby, Oregon is truly a special place. And this is one of those ways that being a truly special place is manifested with that Food and Toy Drive.
Residents can donate toys and food at more than 60 drive barrels scattered throughout the community until Tuesday. If you'd like to do more, Kiwanis is also looking for volunteers throughout the week to help with food and toy sorting. That will be from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the main pavilion of the Clackamas County Fairgrounds each evening. For more information, please visit canbykiwanis.org. In sports this week, first of all, an update about Camby's own Chase Daughtry, a professional bull rider competing in his first national finals rodeo, the season-ending championship event for pro rodeo cowboys held each year in Las Vegas. The 20-year-old Camby High School grad impressed throughout the two rounds Thursday and Friday, ranking second overall with a total score of 168.5. Sadly, a no-scorer on the third round on Saturday dropped him to fourth. But with 10 rounds total, he's still got a lot of rodeo left in the coming week. We'll keep you posted. Go get him, Chase. In basketball this week, the boys got their first win of the season in a thrilling overtime victory on the road against West Salem. It's all thanks to hashtag MillerTime, still not appropriate, as brothers Risden and Chance Miller poured in 14 and 15 points, respectively. In the thrilling 64-53 victory, they improved to 1-2 on the season. The girls also split their games this week, kicking things off with a routine of Sandy at home Wednesday, 50-26, before falling on the road to Mountainside 39-33. The boys will be off till Friday when they take on Forest Grove at home. The girls will have Sprague at home Tuesday, then hit the road to face Centennial. All games start at 7 p.m.
Hi, Ray Keen here from the Canby Center. Don't let the Grinch sneak up on you this holiday season. If you think someone is thinking about suicide, assume you are the only one who will reach out. Listen to them. Ask directly, are you thinking about suicide? Stay with them. Help them connect to support such as a doctor, therapist, or emergency room. Call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Start a conversation. It could save a life. Brought to you by the Canby Suicide Prevention Task Force.
Hello, I'm Tyler Frankie with the Canby Now podcast, and here's my co-host Tyler Clausen.
That's me.
And Embry Johnson, a Canby High School freshman and an actor in a couple of independent films, including Prodigy, which just came out, and we'll be talking about that. Embry, how are you?
Good.
Good. Tyler, how are you doing?
I'm good. Same as him.
Yeah, no one ever asked you that.
Nobody ever asked me that.
So, Embry, my first question, a little bit of a more serious question for... unfortunately, there's, like, you know, a lot of history with child actors having issues, like, later in life, getting hooked on drugs, getting messed up, stuff like that. I was just wondering if you had plans to get hooked on drugs or get messed up later in life.
Yeah, if you could just let us know ahead of time.
Because you probably should not do that, if that was what you're...
Yes?
Yes. Yeah. So I think you should not do that.
Definitely not do that.
Yeah.
No more smoking a regular.
I'm so glad I asked you that question to sort of head that off. So, Embry, why don't you tell us a little bit about Prodigy, the movie that just came out?
Well, it's a film where I play a kid named Caleb, who and he can see the future, and the government is chasing him, and then my alcoholic father comes and saves me from the government, and then we go on the run.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, and why is the government chasing you in the movie? You want to tell people that?
Well, I've already predicted, in the movie, it starts off, and I've predicted 2 out of 3, like, world-ending events. Mm-hmm. And so the government, like, wants...
Like, no big deal. I just... 2 out of 3.
Yeah. And before I predict... And the government's, like, they have me, like, capture whatever. And I'm about to predict the third. And then that's when the movie starts.
Yeah, and they want to take that over. So it's a really good film. I've actually seen it. It was filmed here in Oregon, I think, or at least almost all of it. Yeah.
There goes one of my questions. Yeah. Again.
Yeah. Sorry about that. What was it like to be part of it?
It was a great experience.
Yeah.
Getting to meet all the different people involved. And it was
there's great. Like a lot of, obviously you're getting chased by government agents, soldiers and things. There's like a lot of scary stuff that kind of happens.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like, you know, like it was kind of scary or kind of weird? Or was it just, I mean, obviously you know that you're on set and stuff, but...
Yeah, no, it never really was scary.
Mm-hmm.
Going back, what parts of Oregon were you filming in?
We filmed in Bend, Wilsonville, and Detroit Lake. We filmed a bunch there, and like around that area, sort of.
Yeah, it's always fun to watch a movie that you know was filmed in Oregon or somewhere where you're from, and like trying to figure out, like, oh, if I've been to that place, And so I was a little distracted the entire time.
Yeah,
trying to figure out if I've been there
before. Yeah. I was doing the same thing. There was one scene in the Donald Gun Shop. I was like, I know that place. I have that shirt. So yeah.
So Embry, what inspired you to become an actor in the first place?
Well, I've always been interested in plays and stuff, and I'd go and watch community theater or high school plays, and I always wanted to be in them.
Yeah.
And I'd always pick out characters from them that I'd be
I'd be that guy. Yeah.
And so that kind of that's how I started acting. I started doing just plays, mm-hmm. theater, school plays, whatever I could really get my hands on.
Yeah.
And cool. I wanted to take it to the next level.
Nice.
That's when I started doing auditioning for film and commercials and TV and stuff.
Was it what you expected?
No.
No? How so?
I always
different
thought
than plays, right?
Yeah. You have to be, in plays, you have to be more big and, talk loud, but in movies, it's a lot more it's intimate. The complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
And so what did that transition look like? Did you just show up one day at the office of whoever's filming this movie and be like, hey, guess what? I'm your star.
I think starting out, my mom would she subscribe to a few websites or would, find faces on Facebook or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And send in my headshot information, whatever.
Did you have an acting reel or something that you put together?
No, I didn't. Just face or
just my
headshots.
Face.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Just that. And then,
were
your
headshots like one as you a tennis guy, and then one as you as a doctor,
right?
And they're all the different kinds. You can play anything. No,
I'm
just simple.
No.
Just
yeah.
simple. Okay.
Yeah. How did you approach the role? So, before I saw the film, I had seen the trailer and seen a description of it, and it seemed like it was going to be... First of all, I thought it was about aliens. And it seemed like it was going to be, obviously, this... you would think, like I said, there's a lot of scary stuff that happens. You would think maybe the acting there is maybe a little easier, where you're just, being scared. But really, as you watch the film, it becomes much deeper than that, much more about the relationship between... your character Caleb and his father, and I would think takes a lot more kind of work to act into that. How did you approach that?
I just kind of went over the script and tried to put myself in the mindset of the character, and I kind of thought about what I would actually do in that situation.
Yeah,
but still applying
Was that thing. Hard? Because it's such kind of an out there type role.
Yeah, especially since it was my first thing ever.
Yeah, doing. I've hardly ever predicted any world changing thing. So now I have to do two. So.
Yeah, it was weird.
Were there other kind of relationships or things that you drew from to try and portray what your character was feeling?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Cool.
What was your favorite part about doing this?
Getting to meet all the people.
Yeah.
There was so many different talented people in the movie, and it was awesome getting to...
You always hear about Hollywood, that they like younger actors and people, getting into that craft, and they like to kind of take them under their wing and give them some respect. Is that what you experienced?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was kind of since I was the youngest, obviously I was the youngest actor on set, everyone was really supportive and nice.
Very cool.
And everyone had a lot of great advice to give because they've been doing stuff in the industry for much longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit before the cameras started to roll, and you are interested in more than just acting in the future,
yeah.
right? Was there anything that you saw on the set that you saw someone doing that you were really inspired by that, that's where I want to go?
Definitely directing.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool that the director was able to see everything and be able to come up with stuff on the spot that make the scene 100 times better than what he had originally planned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was really cool.
The director Nathan Leon, I think his name was. He wrote it as well, so he was had his fingerprints all over it. Did you guys have talks where he sort of conveyed to you what he wanted to get across in the film?
Before we shot. And when I was even, when I got the part and I was sending him, videos
yeah.
of me doing different scenes, he would, talk with me. But, before we started shooting, a week before we started shooting, we met up with him. And we ran through a few scenes, and I got to meet, the guy that played my dad and the person uh-huh. that plays, and we,
it's always good to meet your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the times I've met my dad, it's been pretty good, so. Yeah.
And so it was cool. So we got to go through scenes and like work on our chemistry, and it was a cool experience. Yeah.
The movie ends up being a lot more spiritual than I necessarily thought. Like I said, I thought it was about aliens. how did that part hit you? Was that interesting to you to have that side come into it? Or
It was definitely different because our family's not super religious.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like new and a little like weird. Like, there's a scene in the movie where I have to pray, and I have absolutely no idea how to pray.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like went along
with it. But you had a professional director right. telling you how to pray.
That was the hardest one was to learn how to pray.
Yeah.
So
do you have a preference between going and doing theater or going and doing film at this point?
I definitely like film more than theater.
Is it,
why?
Yeah, why?
It just seems more real.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is it weird? Because the thing with theater, you get that instant gratification, right, from the audience, you know, whether they like it or don't like it. I think they usually like it. That's why they're there. But with film, it's much more delayed. You know, it's more like, I guess, writing or something where you kind of do all this work and then wait and hope people like it. Is that, what do you think about that aspect of it?
I kind of like it more because it gives me more time to, like, unwind from doing it. And, like, but at the same time, I want to, like, hear people's opinions. Like, I love hearing reviews and stuff.
Yeah.
About, like, stuff that I've done or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Who doesn't like to hear people talk about stuff that they did?
I hate it. I feel like, just let
That's
me
why
do my
I make
thing.
You do yeah. feedback every time we do a soapbox.
What's next for you? You have another project in the coming down the pike, right?
Yeah, Thunderbolt in Mine Eye.
Uh-huh.
And
you play a very different character
very,
this time.
Very different.
Yeah.
Tell
us about him.
He's like a bully character.
Uh huh.
And I swear on that movie. And they
gosh,
the,
darn it!
Dang it!
Darn it to heck!
And then, yeah, that's fun. Maybe.
It was very different.
Yeah.
And your mom was telling us that you smoked the whole house out with oregano.
Yes.
And that's got to smell bad.
Oh, yeah. It smelled terrible.
What was it like having to...
Oregano smells good.
...to smoke oregano? Was it... Like, did you actually inhale oregano smoke?
I think so. But my throat was burning. And we had this one scene where... It was like one of the only smoking scenes I had, or like the main smoking scene I had, and we were filming
30
for like,
cakes.
Yeah, we were filming for like 3 hours down this like basement. So like it's the entire basement was all smoky and it smelled terrible.
Yeah,
my throat was burning.
Your eyes were like realistically red at that point.
Yeah. Smelled like
just from the oregano.
An Italian plumber's basement.
Yeah,
it probably sounded like Mario through all the takes.
It's me.
That's a good weed. That was a terrible Mario impression, by the way.
Are there any ways that you feel like your work in acting has kind of helped you in life at all? I mean, are there any lessons that you feel
sure.
like you take away from that?
Definitely. Just from, like, even watching, like, interviews of other actors, who are in Hollywood and stuff. Like, it's just, there's a lot of, like, advice, like, life advice, and it still really taught me to my feelings and stuff.
Yeah.
I've gotten better, like, managing them, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It's weird, but, yeah. And
kind of helped you in your maturing process a little bit?
Yeah,
it seems like.
Definitely.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, if you could play any role right now, what would be your dream role to take on?
Captain America.
I knew you were going to say that.
Were you not asking me? Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't really have, like, a dream. There's no other roles that really stand out to me.
Between
like,
the two that you've done in the feature films, which one do you feel like you sort of enjoyed or would like to do more of? You know, because they're so different. You know, what ballpark would you rather be in?
Definitely the Thunderbolt one.
Yeah, okay. A little more fun to do that rather than the kind of more victim sort of character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and all the oregano is fun, I bet. So. Cool. Okay. Well, that's all the questions I have.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that I have. Is there anything you wanted to talk about? Anything you wanted to say? No. All right.
Embry,
just
thank
go see
you
the
so
movie.
Much. This was really fun, and I love hearing about that. Like, obviously, I've never been an actor, and so kind of hearing what it's like is really cool, and especially you at a younger age is really awesome. I've seen some comments from the director, Nathan, about you and why he picked you, and just feeling like you have a great career ahead of you, and you did a fantastic job in the film Prodigy, and I would definitely agree with that for what it's worth. That you're clearly very talented, and I think you have a great career ahead of you. So thanks so much for talking to us. And
yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for letting me be a part of this. I'm so
just,
happy,
just
to, be
happy to be here.
Cool. For a longer interview with Embry Johnson and a little bit more interview with his mom, actually, you can check out the full interview at CTV's YouTube channel and see us talking to him as well, rather than just hearing our voice and wondering what we all look like. You can also check out Embry's movie Prodigy, which is on Amazon now for rent or buying. So I would highly suggest you check that out. Welcome to the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce Business Spotlight, where we showcase businesses that strengthen and add value to our local community.
Carrie Olin, Promotional Strategies.
What do you do with Promotional Strategies?
We help our clients create brand awareness through the use of promotional products.
Mm-hmm. So you basically put your client's logo on things, right?
Yes, absolutely. We can put a logo on just about anything that you can imagine.
Anything. I think a lot of times people think, oh, it's like just a pin, right? But you have hundreds maybe, or...
Yeah, there are probably thousands of different things that we've put logos on, depending on what the client's looking for as far as their advertising needs or who they're trying to reach, the audience they're trying to reach. You know, promotional products is the one form of advertising that people actually thank you for.
Oh, yeah, that's something you don't think about. Yeah. Yeah, cool. So how can people find you if they want to check out more about what you offer and what you do?
My website is PS266SWAG, which is also my phone number. And we are located right on Highway 99 next to Boltano's.
All right, thanks, Carrie.
Thanks.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey.
Frankie.
Yeah, you always get it wrong. You've known me for, like, so many years.
It's so fun having that conversation over.
Every time. I bet the listeners love it.
I just love the fact that both of the people from Canby Now are...
named Tyler. I think that's their favorite thing about this podcast.
That's the reason why I listen.
So, hey, listeners, welcome to the Soapbox. We got a couple things to talk about, but first, a couple announcements.
Yeah.
Tyler, do you know how many downloads we've had for our podcast so far?
Total?
Mm-hmm.
Since we started?
Yeah.
It's like close to $3,000, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Not even close.
Oh.
Do you want me to sing the song? I want to sing the song.
All right, sing the song.
5,000 downloads.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. We're over 5,000 downloads.
That's actually super cool.
That's awesome. in just a couple months. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to our little podcast. Thank you for supporting us. We were not expecting this kind of growth, and really that's all we ask is just that you listen, that you maybe rate and review us or share us with your friends, but really more than anything, we just appreciate that you do listen.
Yeah.
And like what we're doing, it means so, so much to us. So thank you.
Thank you. You got feedback for me?
No.
That's the only reason why I show up to this thing.
See, now it feels bad that we don't have feedback.
Right.
I was hoping that it just wouldn't come up.
Right.
But
no, I'll bring it up every single time.
Yeah. So can you guys, somebody write us a review so we don't have this awkwardness. No, I do have...
I got an email.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got an email from...
Congratulations.
Paul, one of the owner, well, like the owner, Paul and Megan from the book
now. Okay, cool.
And,
Just to be nice.
Just to be nice. Just to tell me they love me.
They're so great.
Yeah, they are. They're
yeah.
So, far,
so are you feeling more in the holiday spirit now?
Mm.
Okay, we'll move on. the other announcement is if you guys know Canby Advantage, that's the coupon magazine that you guys get 6 times a year if you live in Canby and Aurora, which you probably do if you're listening to this, get that in your mailbox. We have a new partnership with them.
So in this issue that just came out this past week, you'll find right around the middle of the magazine, I don't know the page number or even if they have page numbers, but there's an article from us about the history of the Canby Fire District.
Nice.
And a little ad.
All four parts or is it just one part?
Oh, it was just like parts of two parts. Yeah, it would be much longer than that.
Like
if it was
part two.
It is, yeah. The Canby Fire District in the Deathly Hallows part one. Yeah, so check that out. It was really fun to write. We're so grateful to be able to partner with them. And yeah, you should check out that magazine and use those coupons. There's lots of great coupons for restaurants and other businesses in the local area that you were probably visiting anyway, so you might as well save money.
Yeah, I got nothing to add to that.
Yeah.
So do that.
It's great promo.
Yeah.
Okay, so the main reason that we're here, Tyler, you did. I showed you a picture of the sign.
Yeah, I've seen it. I drove by it.
Yeah,
I live in the same place.
What do you think that it is?
I honestly stopped the other day.
Is it weird to you?
And stared at it
because I was like, am I the only one that thinks it's weird? And unfortunately, it turned out that I'm not. But like, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I feel like it was probably like a pumpkin. Like it's a reused sign.
Okay.
Like it was a pumpkin.
For a pumpkin farm.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh.
But it's so skinny. It's like the wrong, it's long in the wrong way to be a pumpkin, right? Yeah. And it's also red.
Also happy.
Yeah.
It looks nothing. Maybe it's a Christmas tree ornament.
Okay.
Maybe it's like, hey, Christmas trees, here's a picture of an ornament that's going to go on the Christmas tree.
Right.
And it's happy.
I always think an ornament is really hard to draw because an ornament is not a thing. Like, it's not a shape. It's there.
Right.
There are millions of things that are ornaments.
Ornaments take the shape of everything else.
Right.
So
to
draw an ornament, you're basically drawing something else.
Right.
And then saying that you'd have to like.
It's like saying.
And then point at it with an arrow and say, "This is an ornament of that thing."
It's like draw an animal. I mean, there's too many things that fit into that category. Like,
yeah.
But okay, an ornament, is that where you're going to go with?
That's what I'm going to go with now. I think that's. I've stared at that thing.
You literally stopped in the road to look at it? Yeah. I thought it looked like a chili pepper.
Right.
Yeah, because it's got that stem, which makes no sense. But that's the most thing that it looked like to me.
It does make sense. In certain countries, they actually hollow out chili peppers and.
I feel like you're just making this up.
Look it up, dude. I'm being totally serious. You light them up, and the inside of them, they glow.
Yeah.
The way, like, we do jack-o'-lanterns, they do that with peppers.
Uh-huh.
And then you'd string them up and put them up on.
Okay, so maybe it's a very culturally progressive farm, so.
Yeah. Or, like, yeah, I think it's a Mexican thing. So
yeah.
It could be a Mexican farm.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not. I did go out and talk to the farm. So we posted a picture on Facebook of this sign just because I honestly thought maybe this is just some weird, like, Oregon symbol for Christmas trees or farms or something that, like, somebody's going to be like, oh, it's this, you know.
Yeah, obviously.
It wasn't even really in my brain that it's a bad picture of something. I thought it was something. So I was wanting people to explain it, and a lot of people were guessing. There was, like, over 60 comments on this article, and then a lot of people were just like, please go and find out. So, like, it's killing me.
They can be news source.
Right. The investigative journalists that you have come to rely on.
So, wait, what is it?
Do you want to hear? I recorded the farmer. So, this is it just jumps right into it. So,
okay. This
is the owner. The farm is Craft Farms. They are open now selling Christmas trees. So, if you're looking for a Christmas tree, go check them out on Township Road. Their signs, the arrows are good on their signs, so you can follow those as well.
Sweet.
And yeah, Darren Kraft asked him to explain it, and this is what he said.
It's supposed to be it. That there is a, it was originally supposed to be an ornament,
mm-hmm.
And then
yeah,
and we made it into some kind of a smiley face.
Okay,
that's all it is.
Okay. Well, that's kind of anticlimactic.
To be honest,
sometimes life is that way.
Yeah,
that's sometimes life is that way.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so just an ornament.
Yeah.
Have you had other people ask about it?
One other person did.
Yeah. So we're not the first.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I asked a couple of your employees.
Oh, actually, I do want to.
Isn't they're just like, I don't know.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, because before the owner came over, I was asking them, and they're like, I have no idea what that was supposed to be. So, yeah.
I'm a genius.
Yeah.
I'm a gosh darn genius.
A lot of people in the Facebook thread also thought ornament, so.
I did not read that.
Cool. That's it. So this week, our Thursday episode, we are going to have an interview. I'm not sure how light we might be this week on news. My son is having surgery, so it's nothing like life-threatening or anything. It's a medical thing, but
surgery.
Yeah, that's going to be more on my forefront this week. So we'll see, but if there's something we can put together for you, like I said, we will have an episode, we'll have an interview, but if we're a little lighter on certain things, that's why. So hope you guys are understanding of that.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thanks for sharing that, Frankie, for uncovering the truth.
Yes, yeah, I hope that, I think people will be just like, oh, you know, they didn't really know what it was either, so. It was just a guy who, not very good at art, so. They tried to make it into something with a smiley face, so. That's what it is. There you go. You're welcome.
All right, bye. Ten.
All right, we're here at Waite Park. We just did Light Up the Night. It's still going on. I'm here with Calvin Lefsure with Canby Business and does economic and development and tourism for the city of
Canby.
That's
right. You got my title.
I was struggling. Yes,
economic development and tourism coordinator
and
for the city of Canby.
It's only changed like four times. So.
Right, yeah. Formerly Main Street manager, and now we're doing just small business outreach. Well,
let's just
all
break
over
it down.
City.
And you do events.
And, yeah, community
such
events.
Such as Light Up the Night.
So, night like this, I don't blame people for saying, wow, you have a fun job.
Yes, yeah. What is it like putting it? This was your first time organizing this event. Can you give people a little glimpse into what it's like to put on an event like this size? Have you
sure.
not slept at all in the past 3 weeks or so? Or be honest.
It hasn't been too bad. just immediately leading up to it, there's been a lot of planning going on for sure. I would honestly like to give a lot of credit to the Parks Department who, you know, truly lit up the night, you know, in the literal sense.
Yeah, a lot of work for them, too,
going
into this.
They outdo themselves every year.
Yeah.
And,
It's cool how they find such a beautiful tree out in the forest every year to cut down and bring out here for our beautiful ceremony.
Yeah, beautiful... plastic and
it looks
metal
almost fake.
Tree. Yeah, it's so perfect.
So realistic.
It almost looks fake. that's right.
Yeah. So it's not too much work. Is it pretty rewarding, I would imagine, being out here and seeing the
response?
Absolutely.
I mean, I couldn't... The sea of people was both overwhelming and inspiring and amazing.
This is something that people look forward to every year. All year.
It really does. The mayor was just, I was kind of joking, like I had to twist the mayor's arm to come here, but this is his favorite event of the year as well. And everyone's so happy to participate. The parks guys, Michael and Ken, we were out here 3 months ago and they were showing me schematics of what you know, they went with sort of shooting star theme this year. So I believe last year it was candy canes. This year it's shooting stars. And even on the side of the gazebo, there's some custom blue stars that were fabricated by Public Works. So, the whole city, there's a lot of different people in the city who work really hard to make this happen. And, you know, I just have that kind of coordinator role of pulling all the pieces together.
Herding cats sometimes.
Not even. These guys are pros.
They know what they're
doing. These guys are pros.
Okay, fair
enough. And shout out as well to Knights of Columbus, Thelma's Place, and Whoopsie Daisy, which is an amazing nonprofit here in town. And even Advantage Mortgage is here giving away donuts. So
they were sponsors? Or
just in the sense that they provided... They brought 2,400 donuts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed that.
So Knights of Columbus
for people who were volunteering or for people attending?
Just for the community. Yeah. It was free to everyone. So yeah. What's cool about this donuts. Event, right? I don't know if they're doing a community service people. Or just killing us slowly. And Knights of Columbus brought 45 gallons of hot chocolate.
Oh, my gosh. That gives you some sense of how many people come to this.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe you could do the math that way and how much hot chocolate goes out the door.
You do it from the donuts, maybe. Although, so maybe some people took like 20. I don't know.
Yeah, could be.
Well, thank you so much, Calvin, for talking to us. And thank you for and to all the city and people who put this on. It's events like this, I think, they really like make Canby what it is, you know, when we all come together and just have fun together and celebrate.
I mean, it's an amazing community, cool small town feel. That's what people love about this, and people love this event. So.
Yeah.
And thank you, Frankie. I love the podcast. Oh. I'm a fan.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Calvin.
I commute to work here, so you you keep me entertained and informed. And informed. I'll say.
That's what we're about. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Yeah. Cool.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guest today, Embry Johnson. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
On Thursday, we'll be catching up with Teresa Sassy of Puddin River Chocolates. She's a creative genius with all things chocolate and delicious, and she does it all without a single chocolate waterfall and hardly any Oompa Loompas.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or even suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanBeNow, or on our website, CanBeNowPod.com.